Welcome, everyone. My name is Addie Nett, and you are listening to MLO. I got my main man, Casey Carpenter. Casey, what are we talking about today?
We're going to debunk five myths about this mortgages that's going around out there, because there's a lot of back alley talk.
A lot of back alley talk, a lot of barbecue talk, a lot of father-in-law advice that we don't know is right.
You never know. We're gonna debunk it.
Get it. Get the box cutter. We're going to unpack.
Slice and dice.
Here we go.
Let's go.
Once again, my name is Addie Nett, and you are listening to
MLO.
Enjoy the show.
That means we're live.
What do I do right now, Case?
You hit the button.
Here we go.
Just another Wednesday show for everybody out there.
Y'all know how this goes.
Yep.
All right. Wait for the beat. Wait for the beat.
And there it is.
It's so impressionable.
At a certain point, we just might be getting hit up to make beats for people.
Call that the drum. Wait, what do we call that?
The gumdrop.
The gumdrop.
Yeah, I don't know.
I love it. I love it.
All right.
We are here. It is, what day is it, Casey?
Hump day, Wednesday.
Hump day, what up? We're bringing forth a live broadcast from the MLO studio, right, sir?
Absolutely, and guess what we are? 6 feet apart, sir. Making sure we're keeping our safety precautions in place.
Spirit fingers.
Spirit fingers.
I love it. Let's bring it around the horn. Camera one, two, and three.
Huh. I like the camera three.
You gotta love that. And this beat just keeps dropping like it's hot. And today, you are tuning in to MLO. My name is Addie Nett, your host of the podcast.
Yes,
and of
sir.
Of course, my main man, Casey.
Casey Carpenter, you guys, is Navy vet and trusted mortgage advisor.
We got the 1-2 punch today for a hot topic for all those people watching and not listening. This is a big one, guys.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Five myths.
Five of them.
I think this is a really big deal because let me back up. I'm going to roll into a little story.
Story time.
Early story time. Da, 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 da. Early story time, my friends. So, Case, before I was even in the mortgage industry, my wife and I wanted to buy a house. I was scared. I was super scared to even buy a house, right?
Yeah, for sure.
But for some reason, you know, Chris and my wife, she's like, we got to get out. Our apartment alum went from $700 and something a month, skyrocketed up to $1,200 a month.
Wow.
So here in this was many, many years ago, but we had a huge bump in rent.
Yeah.
And people were getting forced out. This was before rent control and increases, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Kristen pushed us to buy a place. And I had heard from literally a networking event.
Nice.
Trusted source.
Yeah.
That I could not actually apply for a mortgage until I was at my current job for 2 years.
So you got some great information right out of the gate is what you're telling me.
And I fought it within our marriage for many, many weeks over and over at the dinner table, Casey. All based on information. And the moral of that story is that is not exactly true. There's so many circumstances that you can overcome. You can bridge together work history. You can explain promotions and job changes.
Absolutely.
And there's a lot to that is a whole other episode in itself. But the reason why I bring that up is that goes into the description of this entire app of being like, don't listen to everything in the backyard barbecue, right, Casey? I mean, come on.
Yeah, and that's just what it is, guys. So that what we're going to go over today for you guys is just kind of these five rampant mortgage myths that are out there that you're going to hear these days. And we're going to roll right into it, right out of the gate. I think everyone out there is hearing this. You're hearing it on the radio. You're hearing it on TV, stuff like that. Rates are low, right? Rates are low. Rates are low. Everybody get in. They're just low, low, low. Does that mean that everybody qualifies for a low interest rate because you're seeing it blasted out there, right? So that must mean everybody gets the, you know, 2.875 that they're just showing all over the place, right?
Nailed it.
Does that mean you actually get that rate? Let's find out, because it's a myth.
No, I'll tell you this right now, it's not. And the way I like to explain it is, you know, interest rates that are advertised, there's that tiny little fine print, right?
Yes.
So when you're watching TV, we've all seen that commercial. You can own this Mercedes for $199 a month, zero down. Let me ask you this. Have you ever met anyone who has actually gotten into that C-Class, zero down, $199 a month?
No.
Absolutely not. You show up to the lot and they're like, oh, we only had one car with that exact financing options.
Exactly. I did see the commercial last night too, and I was like, oh, there it is. I could get it.
You're all scratching your head. Maybe I could drive a Mercedes. No. But in all seriousness, a little bit different, but in the sense that most advertised rates, Casey, are going to be for a certain applicant, meaning like tier one credit. So absolutely high-end credit, huge down payment, which is very, very rare. It's true. A small percentage of actual home buyers. So it's not going to be your traditional, say, first-time home buyer, mid 600 credit score, low 700s with maybe 3 to 5% down max, or even someone maybe utilizing down payment assistance, right?
Right. Right.
Those are not the rates associated, nor there are some other factors that not all rates are equal.
That is a great way to put that, Addy. Not all rates are equal. No, they're not. They're not equal. And at the same time too, you have a lot of your own personal financial DNA features that I like to call it, that factor into your interest rate and what it's going to be. So what's being promoted out there, like you're saying, yeah, it could be the 2.875, but it's based off this down payment with this credit score and stuff, and it's all in that fine print. Your financial situation most likely could be different, which would then in turn could give you a different interest rate than that's being broadcasted out there, right? So you went in thinking you're all 2.875, but at the end of the day, maybe you end up at 3.75 because of your criteria and the features. But I was blasted back, right? Because I thought it was going to be the 2.875. So I think kind of the moral of that, you know, myth that's out there is it's not really a myth. You just need to do your research. You need to know what your qualification features are and where that's putting you at for the program and rate scale.
Yeah, it's a really complicated subject because I think so many different lenders A, advertise, but B, communicate the rates and the terms differently.
Yes.
So you might have one lender that might have a slightly higher rate, but their fees are lower.
Yeah.
And they might not be charging, you know, if you've listened to any of our episodes, you understand it, but they might not be charging discount points.
Right.
So that's a huge thing. You might be working with someone that charges an origination fee, but no flat underwriting or processing fees. So it's really hard for the person that's just trying to jump in. You know, they've got their full-time job, family, kids, kids, whatever, and then they're just trying to do this at 6:30 at night before, you know, the NBA playoffs, and their eyes are tired.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay, that sounds good. I mean, how many times have you just made an offhanded decision?
Right. I mean,
because you're tired. Like most of the consumers out there, and there are clients, and we understand this here at the MLO team, understand that it's been a long day. So we're going to lean toward education. And I think, though, the complexity of trying to understand the algorithm from all the other lenders is impossible, right, and difficult to summarize within a paragraph. You really need to know as a consumer, when you're applying and talking to a mortgage advisor, it is key to really ask some key questions and really gauge the honesty. I think that's the easiest way to go. And I'm kind of going the heart. I could easily go on the end and just slam a lot of other people in our industry that don't really do a really great job. But I think lean toward your gut and lean toward like, hey, what's the vibe I'm getting from this initial consult? Yeah. Is this person being honest with me? You know, for me and here at the MLO team, we take a huge sense of pride on building a relationship, which is an overused term, but taking the time to educate. We'll take that application in. We're going to build out spreadsheets for you. We're going to calculate anywhere from a minimum of 3 options to 5 options for you. We're going to record video of ourselves screen sharing and sending you links to watch that walkthrough, or setting up independent Zoom meetings. So instead of you trying to memorize, how do I calculate all this, get a feel for the integrity of the representative working with you, right, Case?
Absolutely. And I'm sure, you know, we've all felt it. Like, you have that inner feeling inside of you that tells you, you know, maybe this isn't the right connection for me, or we're not, you know, this guy seems a little shysty. You know, or whatever it is. So that's a great point. You know, go off of your judgment, get the information. But like Addy's saying, all rates are not equal. Mm-hmm. You know, that 2.875 could have costs for one lender, could not have costs for another lender. So that's a great way to
focus on the APR, not the note rate, the APR that calculates in all the loan associated costs with your interest rate.
Yep.
That is key. And if you guys, if you ever need a second opinion, you know, I did this for somebody at an out of state place, a past condominium that moved, and I was rolling over their loan estimate and gave them some great insight. And it was weird because that individual, a former client of mine who went to a state I wasn't licensed in, so I couldn't assist him, was uncertain, thought he was getting screwed over by his mortgage advisor. And he sent me the loan estimate. I looked through it and everything, and I explained all of his speed bumps and the struggles. And that loan advisor didn't do anything wrong. Nothing wrong. Where they failed was communicating the costs and why they were displayed that way, because it is confusing.
Yep.
So I don't want to get too long-winded. We're 1 out of 5. We're running a marathon today, guys. So
yeah, we'll keep the other one shorter. I mean, that the first one, I mean, it's a big deal. It's blasted out there, guys. So just do your due diligence. Know that, you know, that low rates aren't necessarily mean you're going to get that as a consumer. So just do your due diligence. And let's roll on to this.
Yeah, popping off to number 2, everyone. This is a really key one. There's a huge misperception in the market that getting a mortgage is easy. There's tons of, and let's back that up. Getting a quality pre-approval is easy. Because, yeah, there's a lot of platforms out there. We can go online, and in 4.5 minutes, we'll give you a decision.
Damn.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. You're better off going to the drive-thru Starbucks and asking your barista to write something up on a sticky note. You know what I'm saying?
It's absolutely.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
No, but a real consult, an actual advisement, a partnership, and a pre-approval that is local to the region that you're buying in. You know, someone that's going to stand up for you and actually, you know, review your situation and deep dive into it. But that is super important. But moving into getting into a mortgage is easy or not is number 2. Casey, 2020 has served to be a lot of differences, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of factors going on that we're just dealing with every day. You know, the feds, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, changing stuff constantly. So that's just part of our job, is being transparent about those changes to our clients, making sure everyone's aware. But, you know, going through a mortgage again with your personal, you know, DNA of your finances and your credit scores and all that stuff plays in a factor. But we're seeing just a lot of volume right now in the industry with low rates, right? Like we were talking before, you're seeing a lot of refinances happening. What we're noticing, at least on a process side, is when you're having a lot more loans being pumped into the funnel, we still got to move all those through the system and get them out, right? So we got a lot more, and we're just seeing a little bit more slowdown happening with that process. So, you know, coming through that it's getting easy, there's a lot of things that go into that mortgage and a lot of hands involved: appraisers, underwriters, inspectors, real estate agents, home insurance agents, your mortgage advisor, the operations side. There's a lot of things that go in there that need to be controlled and even micromanaged at sometimes to give you a smooth experience. But this is sometimes a road course, and there is left turns and right turns, and we got to navigate, right, Addy?
I totally agree. And I would just reiterate a little bit more that going to 2020 and the changes, right? So yeah, you could argue the point, Casey, that sure, it's easier to get a mortgage now with technology, right? Wi-Fi has done an amazing thing for everyone, not just finance, right?
Yeah, no, right.
Grubhub and Netflix, totally. And screaming, cut the cord, all that stuff. But in fact, really, 2020 has brought forth, from my experience, a lot of scrutiny from an underwriting perspective, meaning we are not only crossing T's and I's as we were before, we're doing it with an even sharper pen and not pencil.
Absolutely.
So before the underwriter is signing off, there's no eraser anymore. Investors are looking at everything, auditing files, all of this stuff. Particularly, one example I can give is the verification of employment process is so much more under a microscope than it was last year. We are literally, in some cases, re-verifying employment every 2 to 5 days from day one to close date. Because, seriously, there were people signing mortgages who lost their job that morning, early phases of the year, right, Case?
Absolutely. I mean, and unfortunately, too, I just had a client the other day. Offer accepted. Everyone's super excited, and they got the news the next day that, hey, their position is on the hot seat. And you know, unfortunately, they had to back out, right, because now their job security isn't there. Verification of employment's big deal, guys, because guess what? Everybody's working from home, right? So how are we trying to get a hold of people to verbally verify that they're working there still, because you're jumping through a bunch of hoops and you're trying to get a hold of someone that normally would be an HR call or an office manager right there ready to pick it up, but they're not in the office.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're not working there. You got to track them down. So it does make it harder. And I want to point out a fact that I saw, you know, stated in here that you saw other lenders too start to change depending on their model and how they're shifting their business, but you started to see them put their own risk factors and requirements out there that made it harder for borrowers to qualify. So raising credit score requirements because of pandemic and everything that was going on, and they were just tightening their risk, right? So those factors don't help someone get through a mortgage easier when you're increasing the qualification factors, you know?
That's a really good point. And I would summarize that to that 2020, the scrutiny and penalties for a sub 700 credit score are double and triple of what they were in years prior. And the reason why is based on the economical environment and the instability of the future of our country, the pandemic and the economy itself, the presidential election, investors are more inclined to be confident in investing and backing a mortgage for a steady 700 and plus credit score. And that's not discrimination. That's just the fact. And it doesn't mean if you're sub 700, you can't get a mortgage. It means what's going to happen. A, your interest rate will be higher. And if another lender says that, there's no change in your interest rate, there will be a change in your closing costs because they will tack on the discount points for the penalty of the lower credit score. And don't be
great point.
That has nothing to do with the mortgage advisor or the mortgage company. Even it's the investor, Fannie, Freddie, the people that these loans get sold to in the secondary market. So understand that statement does back that it is a little bit harder. It's not as easy as you might think. So there's a lot of people who, oh, I have a high 600 credit score. I've got 15% down, which would be awesome, just hypothetically speaking.
Right.
And then boom, shakalaka, they are Googling, oh, average interest rates might be 3.125 nationally if you Google it or whatever, right, paying whatever fees, right? And then they go and talk to their local mortgage advisor, and lo and behold, they have a 4.5 because their credit score was 662. They maxed out their Capital One, right? Their Capital One card's maxed out. Then they took advantage of the Best Buy card to take out a 0% interest now so I can get this $700 TV just for the, and they didn't know. So it really, really, really is a lot more consequences to that lower credit score. But to bring it on the flip side too, the higher credit score might assume that they would qualify. They would qualify for, say, a jumbo loan, a loan that exceeds the 5, 10, 400 yep. maximum conventional. Those jumbo loans, like, we are going to do another episode coming up shortly about jumbo loans. We did one earlier this year. We'll revisit it because the jumbo market's completely different, and there's a lot of scrutiny and microscoping going on.
For sure, and in between lenders. You know, every lender is doing some different stuff, at least, you know, stuff that we've heard. Different lenders requiring different reserves. All over the place.
I mean, we've got different people from different companies. We're all talking all the time. Hey, who can do this? Who can do this? There's Facebook groups, literally people posting, just mortgage advisors posting, who can do this? And it's a short summary of products.
It's really funny too, because I don't think most clients maybe don't know that, right? But yeah, we communicate to each other, even though we're competitors, right? I mean, we're still in this industry together. And so you know, the best way we can help clients, if we can't do the deal, is get them to a trusted advisor that's got that product, right? So you got to communicate. So we're always sharing information. What do you guys have? What do you guys got going on there? And that's how you can truly advise clients, by knowing everything that's going on around you, right?
Well, and I just got a call this morning from one of my friends at one of the big national banks, mortgage advisor over there. And he's an awesome guy. I've known him for a long time. And he's like, Hey, Addy, can you do A, B, C, D, E, F, G? I can't get the details for privacy. It's like, our bank's not doing that right now. We've really tightened up on this and that. And these are standard guidelines.
Yeah.
And like, really, I can only do certain things for preferred bankers or people who are already doing business with us for X amount of years and before. So even the big banks are being very protective and very conservative, because there's a lot of change coming up. So I think that's a really, really good segue of our next point.
Right.
I think we're on to number three.
And this is, and we all know, if you've been watching us Facebook Live, you know this is probably a hot button for Addison over here, because he likes to get fired up on this. But
deep breath.
Should everybody refinance, guys? Like, I mean, should you refinance or should you not? Because what's being put out there is like, hey, rates are low, everybody just get in, refinance, you know, save on the mortgage interest, lower your payments, take cash out, do all this stuff. Just do it is what you're hearing. Just do the refinance. But is it a good option for you, and does it make sense right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you this. Refinancing is not Nike. You shouldn't just do it. I'm going to drop that hammer down.
Hit him with the swish.
Bring him hot. But here's what's up. Like, there's a lot more factors to it, guys, and I'm really holding back. I'm putting my hands in the air. I'm trying not to clench my fist. My wife really wants me to focus on being less stressed, but it's a hot button for me because it's more.
For sure.
I had a conversation this morning, a gentleman that was referred to me on a refinance, and I asked him a lot of questions like, okay, how big is your house? They had talked to like 3 or 4 lenders. Like, what do you mean? How big is my house?
Why'd you ask me that?
No one's ever asked. I talked to 4 different lenders. I was like, oh, well, I'm getting a year. I know where your house is. I asked you how long you've been in it. When was the last time you bought it? What you bought it for, the value, what you owe. What I'm trying to figure out in my head is, do I think I'm going to get an appraisal waiver on the automated system? And that would save us anywhere from $600 to $800, depending on a few different factors on the appraisal fee.
Yep.
And then I wanted to know, what's your big picture plan?
Mm-hmm.
When are you retiring? When do you want to retire? What are your pain points? Do you have kids? How long are you going to stay in the house? Because I want to check a couple boxes off. What's the cheapest way I can do this refinance? B, when is the break even of the total cost associated with refinancing?
Absolutely.
And how long are they going to be in the house? And then what is your big picture goal? Because if you're going to sell this next year, I'm not going to advise you to refinance.
Yeah.
I'm not going to. And it drives me incredibly insane. And I've worked with people in the same company who sit there and dial and call their entire client list, their book of business, and they use false urgencies to tell people to refinance, and they're not taking the time to do their job and actually advise. They're just trying to walk. Are you ready? How many people? Are you ready to move forward today?
Are you ready to move forward?
Are you ready to move forward?
You ready? You ready? You ready? I know, it's like,
should I lock that today?
Should I lock?
The consumer doesn't even know what lock means half the time. Are you freaking kidding me?
And at the end of the day, guys, if they're going to sell in a year, why are you going to pump 10 grand of closing costs on them? But, oh, but you can wrap it in your loan. They don't have to pay for it, Addy. They don't pay for it out of pocket. They just put in a loan. It's all good.
Well, and before my heartbeat goes up a little bit more, like I chug 30 ounces of Red Bull, I will just summarize, hey, first of all, go back to our first advisement of really, really analyze the conversation with the advisor that you're working with and see if you feel like they're acting in their best interest. I will tell you this. If they feel like they're trying to close you on one call, they're not acting in your best interest. They are not. If they're taking the time to really ask a few key points of questions and taking the time to explain that, like, one of the analogies I like to use is refinancing is a lot like buying your own house from yourself. So you have your current terms on the mortgage, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to purchase it from yourself. So you have the amount owed plus the cost it takes to buy it from yourself. You combine those two, and that is your new loan amount. It's crazy to me how many people miss the mark on explaining that to clients, and they come to like, oh, yeah, you explain it way better. And there's like so many more bullets to it to break down, but you got to understand, are they acting in your best interest? And then understand, relatively speaking, what is your estimated break-even point? And when I say break-even, it's your savings on the lower interest, hopefully, right? Yep. On a monthly basis versus the total cost it took you to get the lower payment.
Yes.
You divide those together, that will give you a monthly break even.
It's 6.5 years, guys. So are you staying in the house for 6.5 years?
Right. Sometimes I would say it's a little, yeah, it's between 3 and 6, 3 on the low, 6 on the high.
Yeah, for sure.
And so much of it's loan amount. So people in the lower trigger, like the $150,000 loan amount, that's a low loan amount. It's tough because the fixed cost could be, relatively speaking, around $3,000 plus a new escrow. You're looking at $5,000-$7,000 financed in. I mean, we're talking 3-5% finance cost just to refinance.
Yeah.
And a lower interest rate's not going to move the needle on a lower payment as much as, say, $500,000 loan.
That's a great point. I wanted to put that out there too, because people will get lost, right? Like, the savings, you know, unfortunately, your big monthly change and monthly savings come from having higher loan balances. When you have a lower loan balance, that massive change in interest rate doesn't necessarily drop your payment a whole lot. I mean, you just have to look at it, right? Like, and I even noticed that on mine. I was doing my refinance, and I was like, I mean, we were getting close to, you know, anywhere from 1.5-2% change in interest rate, right? And I'm thinking this thing just going to be crazy difference in payment, and it like barely changed anything. Because it's a smaller loan amount. So it's just there's the savings are max of what they are for the loan amount size. So,
and I think one of the other things too, and this is kind of a combination, Casey, of the low interest rate environment and reputation versus should you refinance? There's a big difference in purchase interest rates, refi interest rates from company to company. Some are pricing them completely different. Yep. And then on top of it, there is a difference between a rate and term and a cash out, meaning you're just going to refinance your interest rate and nothing else, only finance on the closing costs or pay them out of pocket.
Yes, sir.
Or you're actually going to pull cash out. Two different interest rates. Now, I will preface, if you have a ton of equity, there might not be any difference. But if you're hovering on that, you know, 80 LTV, 70 LTV, there is a big swing and a cash out versus just rate and term. And not a lot of people. A lot of people see that. You can get in this Mercedes today for $199.
Yeah, $199 for the Mercedes. But yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And those are things, as a consumer, you need to be trying to get the best advice you can from your loan officer. And hopefully they are giving you that advice, because if not, you need to be calling MLO. And how do you call us?
Are we gonna transition here to a little break? I like that little break. So
how are you calling us? If you don't feel like you're getting your right advice, you know, from the current lender, how are you gonna hold MLO?
Oh, you know, we've got that VIP number that you can reach out to anytime. You can call, text, direct, 503-VIP-9038. And we're gonna bring in that little break music, take a little breather here.
Yeah, let some other people jump on the show.
Breathe in, breathe out.
And remember, guys, you can shoot us questions, right? You can shoot us comments. You know, we'll see them pop up from below, and we'll answer them for you right there.
We totally
will. Like below.
We understand. A lot of these questions, too, are personal. So we get a majority of people reaching out through email, text, or call.
For
and
sure.
That's comfortable. We totally get that. But if you want to participate in the show, you have a show idea, please feel free. And we like to remind everyone, we are broadcasting live from the MLO studio. My name is Addy Nett, your host of the MLO. This is my main man, Casey Carpenter. Give a little shout out, Case.
Yes, sir. My name is Case Carpenter. Your guys' is Navy vet and trusted mortgage advisor here at MLO.
And you know, we bring an environment of transparent knowledge, insider information, not only for home buyers, home sellers, industry professionals alike.
Yep.
And if you're not watching us on Facebook Live right now, you can also subscribe, like, review. We're on every single podcast channel. Wherever you grab them podcasts, we be.
Wherever
right,
you're
Casey?
Listening to those jams, we're on that stream. I mean, we're out there on every channel. So, and hey, if you guys want to check out some YouTube videos, we got YouTube up and going for show.
The YouTube is a slow and a rolling, and we're taking the quality over quantity approach, which
yes,
I think is rare in America right now. But going back to that podcast, if you are a listener, which is a majority of our audience, don't be afraid to come see what we look like. And look at Casey's ridiculous dance moves, particularly at the beginning of the video.
For sure. And as we just go along into these season 2 and season 3s of MLO, maybe we'll just upgrade these dance moves.
Oh, yeah. And just to bring it together one more time, guys, If you want to get a hold of us and we can help you, a second opinion, a conversation, doesn't matter if you're ready now to buy a house, refinancing, 10 years down the road, you just want to chit chat, talk, have a safe place, hit us on that VIP. Once again, let's give them that number, Casey.
503-VIP-9038.
And you can also shoot us a direct message, like hit us up on the Facebook, whatever. Find me personally, my cell phone number, Google me. I don't care, Google
We're
Casey.
Out there, guys.
And we got
you can find us.
We got CK's holding down our desk line, closing loans for us, so he's available as well. But good little break. That felt good. Very energizing. I feel like we got a good pace here today, Mr. Carpenter.
We got a good one, and we got two last items to hit here, and we'll hit all three or all five of our five myths we're going over. But number four, let's launch right into it, and this is a perfect one to talk about because we see it all the time in this industry, guys. All the freaking time. You can apply for a mortgage after you found the home. Let me say that again. You can apply for your mortgage after you've found your home. Do we think that's a smart move, Addy?
That is not smart at all.
Not at all, sir. Not at all. Why?
Ultimate buzzkill in the mortgage industry. First and foremost, if you have a real estate agent who is willing to take you out to see property without an attestment of a pre-qualification at minimum or a pre-approval letter, you're not working with a very experienced real estate agent. I'll just tell you that right off the bat. They are desperate to take you out and don't care and don't value your own time. And to me, that means you don't value how good you are at the job. Now, there are acceptances in different situations. You might have Daddy Warbucks who...
Right.
Lifts up his mattress and there's $2 million in cash right there. Yeah, you're not going to make...
We'll get a little verified fund slip and you're good to go.
Yeah. No, if you're paying cash, obviously not. But no, we see this happen quite often in where they want to go see homes and they don't want to pull credit or they don't want to start the process prior to looking at homes. First and foremost, that's not smart from a financial standpoint because you should understand what you're getting into in any purchase, whether it's a car, a home.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying analyze, you know, how much it's going to cost to run to, you know, Kroger grocery store and pick up some fresh produce, but any major thing, you should think through it and break it down and get an opinion and understand what you're getting into, right, Casey?
Yeah, I mean, it literally blows my mind, and we say it all the time. I mean, this is one, if not the biggest purchase in your life, and people jump into that not knowing the cost or what their payment would be.
Mm-hmm.
Blows my mind, you know, that you're going to spend $500,000 to $750,000 or $250,000, whatever it is. It's a lot of cheese, and you don't know the payment and what it costs.
Yeah, and you got to understand the variables, like the changes in property taxes, the closing costs. Do you need them negotiated by the seller or not? And the agent needs to know that to properly build out a home search for you as well. And I'll put this together because I don't want to get too long-winded because we tend to do that from time to time, right, Casey?
Yeah, but you do got a good fact right here.
And we do.
It puts our point out there.
Drop the hammer.
This was from Realtor.com. Okay.
Oh.
Survey conducted June this year out of 2,000 active home buyers out there shopping.
Survey says
52% were pre-approved. So half of them.
So rounding down, half the people shopping for a home have really buttoned up and assured that they're qualified and approved to purchase a home.
The other half have not. They're out there shooting in the dark.
You know, I had some clients the other week too, Casey. Quick story. I get this call.
Okay.
Saturday.
Always Saturday.
Always Saturday, and that's fine. That's what separates us from the weaklings, right? Mm-hmm. We try to be available on Saturday, and we try to balance it out. But anyways, get this text, and it's all good. That's how we better. It's like, hey, can you run the numbers on this house? We're going to offer. This is the agent. We're going to offer on this house today. Oh, great. I'm here for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to be here for y'all. Run the numbers. Run the numbers on all the options. The payment. On that particular house, A, they were $100,000 over budget of what, you know, they originally wanted. the agent talked them into seeing this house just in case, right? And the payment was $450 more than they were comfortable with. Those are conversations early in the process you need to have. Don't just like, oh, I got somebody right away. You need to understand what is, you know, 400 to 500 look like? What are the variables? What are the property taxes, the insurance? Do I need to, are there any differences in the mortgage insurance as I go up? Do I want to go 3% or 5%? Am I going to negotiate closing costs to be paid by the seller or not? So that's, those are some really important things,
right? For sure. And I got a good little story I'll add to that too, because it was the same thing. Helping out some, you know, obviously our partners were always there for them on the weekend, trying to support them and whatever, you know, they have going on. And honestly, that's when the activity is, right? They're out shopping and showing homes on the weekend. And as a trusted advisor, you need to be there to support your agents. My agent calls, you know, calls me. She has a client and it's not with me. And they're just, she had questions about it, right? The pre-approval process was taking a while, it seemed like. They had their offer in. They're running up on offer deadlines. So they're extending these offer deadlines because what does the seller and the listing agent want to see? Mm-hmm. A pre-approval letter, right?
Got to see that.
Oh, the offer is in there. So the offer submitted. They're trying to work on the pre-approval letter. They're working with their, you know, their local lender, or bank, or whoever it was. And they're not getting that answer. It seems like that person's taking a while. And I, for a couple of days, were just trying to just talk to this person because I knew, you know, a few minutes of conversation with me could probably clear the air on everything. This went on for 4 days as they're extending their offer deadlines, right? I finally am able to talk to the client. And they are getting bad information where they're not even going to be able to be pre-approved. And we're sitting here hung up on a transaction and they aren't qualified.
It's unreal.
It's unreal. Like literally the lender could ask them a couple questions. Hey, what's your down payment? Oh, well, I guess that's too low for our program and it doesn't work, right? Whatever it is, they're not asking those questions. And these people are sitting out there hung up on pre-approvals because their lenders aren't asking the client the right question and getting them pre-approved or just telling them they're over budget and we need to lower it down like you did with your client. Mm-hmm. It's a big deal right now in the industry.
Yeah, 100%.
Pre-approvals have to happen.
They got to happen. They got to happen. That's a big one. And it kind of merges together a lot of these points where underwriting guidelines, program guidelines, credit restrictions, whether higher interest rates for lower credit or higher down payment for jumbo loans. There's so many changes, guys, and you got to understand your options. And in any, you know, one thing that my father taught me was, you know, if you don't do your homework and prepare, you usually pay more money and you will be scrambling. And the most desperate person unprepared is going to lose. And another saying that they say is luck favors the prepared, right, Casey?
Luck favors the prepared, yep. So my dad always hit me with, you gotta pay to play. That's what he'd always hit me with. You got to pay to play.
Is that what he said every time you sat up to the dinner table? Yeah.
You got to pay to play. Yeah, pretty much.
Put your earnings in the coffee can, Casey.
Yeah, exactly. Excuse me. Well, let's roll into number five. Let's hit it. Let's hit it out the park for our viewers here.
Yeah, last but I think number five brings together a nice tie together, Casey, because understanding getting pre-approved, pre-qualified prior to looking at a house is there's a lot of people who might be contingent on selling a home. And with this year, it's been a rough year for everyone. My heart goes out to a lot of families that have been affected to it. But the for ones sure. that are, you know, floating along and maybe have the ability to buy a house, sell a house, whatever it might be, Casey, they might have been taken advantage of and maybe have utilized a route called forbearance on their current mortgage. And that rolls into number five for us, right, Casey?
Yes, it does. And mortgage forbearance means you do not have to pay back your loan or pay back the forbearance part of your loan or whatever that is. That's the myth out there, guys. Hey,
it's a big myth.
You do forbearance, hey, you're good to go, man. Don't worry about the payments. It's all good. It's all gravy.
That ain't the case. Relief is free relief in America.
Yep. Forbearance is not forgiveness. Forbearance is not forgiveness.
Where's the t-shirt on that?
God, we need the t-shirt on it. But let's talk about it for a second. So if you guys aren't familiar with forbearance, what was put in place because of, you know, COVID and we have the pandemic going on. You had a bunch of, honestly, millions of Americans either struggling financially with their job, right? And then how do you afford to pay your bills if you are struggling? And our hearts go out to people that have lost their jobs. There's a lot of people that aren't working. We're very thankful to have a job every day. But in the wake of that, they put in some product, some guidelines, some relief to help people. One of this was forbearance. So as a mortgage holder, you could choose to put your loan in forbearance. What this is going to do is allow you to miss or skip 3 payments. Okay. So just easy. You get miss 3 payments. Okay. But a lot of clients and consumers out there believe that, or at least being led to believe that, you do not have to repay these missed payments. Or, you know, it's just you get to miss them and then you go back into making your payments. Mm-hmm. There's a couple different variations of this, but what it is Americans really out there are being misled, because guys, one way or another, if you miss your mortgage payment, you're going to have to make that up one way or other. You're going to have to bring your loan current at some point to make up those payments, or you're going to have it added into the loan if there's something else, you know, depending on that lender and how they have their forbearance program. But at the end of the day, you're not just eliminating those 3 payments. You're not, you know, ever going to not have to make them up. You're going to have to make them up one way or another.
Yeah. And I'd like to bookend that to the fact that forbearance is negotiated off of a lot of different factors, primarily off the servicer of the mortgage, right? So it's not just everyone and everyone has the same type of freaking forbearance scheduling, right? So the repayment is a direct negotiation or allowance from the servicer of the mortgage. You got to understand that, guys. It's so different. But a lot of people will be stuck, depending on the circumstance, and it's per circumstance, might be stuck for 3 months, excuse me, until they can do anything. 3 months of repayment on the repayment plan. Not the minimum payment, the repayment plan, which is paid in full, essentially. Paid back in full. Super hard to do. And depending on the circumstance, you might not be able to just sell your house, pay it off, and buy another one. Now, I can tell you I was able to pull that off with one of my clients this year, but it took so much. And it was off of a lot of it. And we're going to do a forbearance episode, and we got to be really careful compliantly what we say, because there's so many variances. Don't assume is the best way. And that even goes back to number 4 with getting pre-approved or pre-qualified prior, right? But if you do have a forbearance, like, and this is speaking to the real estate agents out there too, like, they should want, don't you want to know that's got to be ironed out?
Got to be ironed out.
Because the market is so hot too right now in our area. The houses go in a week. So if you're 90 or 120 days out, what's the point of looking at the houses right now?
Yeah.
You could be working out that stuff. So,
it can hold you up on your refinance, because I'm seeing that too, like with refinance clients. You know, forbearance is going to be there. We're not saying that by any means is a bad thing. We're just saying that forbearance, you need to be educated on it. It could be, you know, the saving grace for you, and that'll help you for sure. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe you need that help and you're back on track, good to go. But like people that are current, you know, refinancing, if you had a forbearance, it's one way or the other. We got to make up the payment, or we're going to pay it off somehow in the loan. So you're seeing it affect people in all shapes of forms, refinances, purchases and stuff. And it comes back to the education part. You got to get educated.
And yeah, man, that's 5. We couldn't through it. I keep looking at the timer. I'm trying to be respectful and ride it through.
For sure.
But to bring it, you know, all together, guys, maybe we summarize it from the top. Interest rates. Interest rates are good right now, but there's a lot of different factors. Credit, timing, lender, requirements, discount points, all of that stuff. So it ain't the Mercedes, $99 a month. You don't got to pay. Walk off the lot now, Jimmy. Come on down. Yeah. We're clean, safe, all this stuff. So get with someone that you trust.
Right? For sure.
So that was number one.
Number one, with number two being, you know, mortgages, as easy as we here at MLO make them for our clients, they sometimes can have speed bumps and hurdles. And so sometimes they might not be easy for everybody. There's a lot of stuff that goes involved with that.
Yeah, that's a good point. And summarizing number 3, refinancing. Got to do it now. This and that and that. Take a chill pill. Last week they were announcing, and I have to correct our announcement because we got on it, Christian and I, with Fannie and Freddie announcing the 50 basis point additional fee, which is normally getting passed down to the client on refinances. And I was encouraging everyone to take a deep breath. Like, This is supposed to start September. The market also moves. Like, we see basis point improvements of 50 or more in a week.
Yep.
Like, it is, like, ticket. Don't let sleazy mortgage advisors go out there and try to falsely get you to lock your own and move forward. It drives me nuts because now it's been announced that it's delayed. Likely December. Who knows? So, oh, yeah, post-freaking election.
Right, right. So, and it was it's a total head fake out there, guys.
See, head fakes the whoop.
It was a head fake.
A little razzle dazzle in the mortgage industry, right?
Right, for sure. And I mean, even for the sales side of it too, guys, like, you know, we're going off of our best effort for the information that we're given from the higher ups above, right? For what Fannie's saying, for what Freddie is saying. And so when they said, you know, you have the half a point hidden and they just announce it Wednesday night, right? And it's going in and you're seeing rate sheets. And then all of a sudden they head fake us 2 weeks later and go, well, you know, September 1st isn't the date. We're going to move it back to, December 1st, right? So
The person with the money has all the power.
Exactly. So, and it's, that is not cool. I don't care who you are. It ain't cool, feds. No one wants none of that half point crap.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I think bringing it down, though, off the tangent, focus on the break even point. Are you, the big picture, is it gonna make sense for you? Are you working for someone that wants to close you on the first call in 5 minutes? Are you getting a call from your mortgage advisor that didn't care about you on your purchase and then now is calling you out of the blue in the first touch base call and telling you to lock today because of this and that? Right. Where are you going to be at? So understand that. So moving to number four, in summary.
You can apply for a mortgage.
Gotta get pre-approved. Come on.
Get pre-approved, man. Stop messing around.
Do we need to play a song for that? We need a pre-approval song. We'll get Joshua Billups, our amazing production. We need him to figure out a song for us. The pre-approval song.
Rough Riders. DMX.
I was thinking more of some sort of like, like it needs to be a jingle jangle mixed in with a little strong back end on the beat.
For sure.
And then your daughters need to give you a customized dance
routine. TikTok. We're working on it. TikTok.
Yeah. TikTok. You don't stop. Speaking of stopping, we are almost there. I think that's it.
Number five, forbearance, guys. So as we talked about it, you know, that one, you really have to get the right advice. You need to know what's going on because it's affecting a lot of people out there. It can help you. We're not saying that it's a bad thing. We're just saying that that's something you got to be educated on because it can factor into a lot of different things down the road. Yes, sir.
So many different things.
So many different fun things.
I turned on that closing music as you... That was some production savvy there.
No, we're getting better, guys. I mean, at a certain point, like, Anderson Cooper is going to be calling us because he's like, dude, you guys look better than CNN.
I like TNT NBA halftime show. By the way, our Portland Trailblazers are getting their tushes kadooshed by the Lakers. He is so tough. I mean, no, I even wore my goodbye Tinker Nikes.
Oh, no. Well, I swear I just saw an update come through my phone that playoffs were postponed. So we got to check that out, honestly.
Oh, about it. Da-da-da.
Yeah, thank you, ESPN. Propose.
Well, to land the plane here, once again, everyone who is listening on the podcast channel, we really thank you for your support. It means the world to us, guys. The reviews, the likes, the reach outs, the downloads. Man, we've had a big uptick in the last 30 to 40 days, which is fantastic. And it's great to hear from people all across the nation. And once again, you have been listening to
MLO.
And if you haven't liked, comment, subscribe, please do so, guys. It supports us. We love it. We want you to get notified every time we do a new podcast, live stream, or video. Hit us up, Facebook, YouTube,
all the streaming channels, wherever you're grabbing your podcast. Make sure you're downloading MLO. And shout out to all our real estate agents that are sharing our posts and stuff like that. I've seen a couple agents out there sharing our videos and stuff. So thank you guys, man. We're all about that.
We are. We're going to end this out. Shimmy, shimmy.
What's that Damian Lillard dance? I don't know. He's way better at it than I am.
Friggin' love it.
Yes, sir.
Till next time, guys. Once again, thank you for listening to MLO. Until next time, we'll catch you later.
See you guys.